Hello, this is Barry. Thank you for joining us online. We'll get to the next message in our Better Than Happy series shortly, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to invite you to join with us as we're trying to reach more people with the life-changing gospel of Jesus. Our church and our online ministry is growing, and every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story is important to God. Would you consider giving so that we can help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus? If you'd like to help us, go to gracepointkitsap.com/give. Thank you so much. In 2 weeks, it will be Easter. Anybody excited for Easter? Yeah. 2 weeks is Easter. Who have you invited? Who will you invite? We have at the exits of the doors in the lobby, we have these invite cards. I've already given out and invited over 10 people, and I want to encourage them to be here. And you can pick up a number of these on the way out and pass them out. See, when it comes to Easter, it's one of those times where the percentage of people that will be offended that you invited them, that you cared enough about them to invite them to Easter, it's pretty low. It's pretty low. You invite, then it's up to God. You invite, it's up to God. Now, last year, set an all-time record, and we had 3 services, and every service was full. So this year, we're going to 4 services, one on Saturday at 7, and then 3 on Sunday morning. To still keep it morning, we have to change the time. So if you think it's just on Sunday morning, it's going to be 9 and 11, and then something else, you're going to walk in, and it's going to feel weird, because you missed a lot, or you missed a chunk in the beginning. So the times are 8:45, 10:15, and 11:45. It's all there for you to invite. I encourage you to invite. Now, I want to encourage you also to pray with me, because I'm praying, because we have a big God. I'm praying for 2,500 people to be at Easter at Grace Point on a couple weeks. So pray about that, and better yet, invite all of us and see what God does. Because God will be proclaimed. It's all about Jesus on Easter. It's your opportunity to invite and to pray for what God will do, because God will do something. Now, we're in part 2 of this series, This Is What We Do. This is what we do. Because of what he did, this is what we do. Because he died on the cross and rose again and forgave us, because all that he has done, this is what we do. We're talking about irrational generosity. That God supplies us with finances in a lot of different ways. And as a believer who believes in the Bible and the teachings that God has for us, it's irrational to some to give it back and give a portion of it back to God and be generous. And it doesn't make any sense. The reason why I call it irrational is it doesn't make sense to people that don't understand the Bible or understand about following the Bible. Now, when my wife and I were in Southern California and we were in the process of, for the first time of trying to apply for a house loan, a mortgage loan, which in Southern California, that is an act of God that happens. And so I remember it being in the office, and we had all these, you know, bank statements for a bunch of months and salary and all the paperwork and the numbers. That the person across the desk in the office looked at us and says, you know, I see on a consistent basis, I see lots of money going to a church. And I see that you have no margin, financial margin in your life. What you need to do is not do that and put it over here and build up a savings account for you. And I said, oh no, that will not happen. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. I said, this is what we do. This is what we do. It wasn't a debate. And it's because it's part of this is what we do for what, because of what he did, this is what we do. We have no problem. We lean into it. We're excited. We believe in it. God's word believes in it. Generosity, when it happens, God does things. When generosity happens, blessings from God flow. When generosity happens, it encourages and inspires others to be generous too. Because of what he did, this is what we do. Now, just a clarification, like I said last week, if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're here as a guest, you're here as a good spouse or a friend, and you're not a follower, just breathe in and relax. This doesn't apply to you. But if you say that you're a follower of Jesus, that he is your Savior, and all that he has done for you, when it comes to finances, it is not optional. It is not optional biblically. Now, over the years, I've heard, and I continue to hear this, when it comes to finances and Bible, some people like, church shouldn't talk about that. Oh, well, it's in the Bible. If I'm going to have a health series in the future, we're going to talk about money. Because God talks about it a lot. But I've heard this before. Well, I tithe my time. That is great. The Bible says a lot about serving others. Awesome. That doesn't mean that you don't tithe with your money as well and give generously with your money too. You can't avoid this as a follower of Christ. It is not optional. It is absolutely not optional. So that's why we talked about to do this, it's hard. And the thing is, in scripture says, we put God first financially. And when we put God first financially, we perfectly position ourselves for God's blessings. We perfectly position ourselves for God's blessings. Now, the tithe is not, don't put it in the Old Testament box. It preceded the Old Testament law. And Jesus talked about tithing to the Pharisees, like you tithe here, here, and here. Great, keep doing that, but don't forget other things. Don't forget other things. Now, the tithe is just a foundational kind of building blocks of our for faith regarding our finances. We talked about when we begin the habit of tithing. And it's a habit. It's something that we have to develop. And scripture lays out 10% you receive from God. First thing you do is put God first and you give. Now, when that happens, the purpose of the tithe is it helps us put God first. It doesn't take faith to give last. It takes faith to give first. And it also, it increases our faith muscles. And it allows the church to do what God has called us to do. And the church was founded by Jesus. That is the institution to start with. So that's what happens when we put God first. It perfectly aligns us for God's blessing. Now, last week we started this. We did this before in the past. This thing called a tithe challenge based upon God's word about challenge. I'm going to challenge you. Test me in this. Give the whole tithe. So for 3 months, challenge is, if you're not doing this, or you stopped, or you've never done this before, by faith, I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to take the challenge. So you fill this out and say, okay, for 3 months, I'm going to obey and then watch God work. And if God does not work in your life, we said, you can let us know and we'll give you all that money back for the last 3 months. But I guarantee you, you will see God working in your life. Now, it's great to report that last week we saw a record number of people saying, I'm going to tithe for the first time. I'm going to take God's challenge. And I say, you go. Several people between services, I'm doing it for the first time, Pastor. You know, I'm a little nervous. That's right. It's a little scary, but I tell you, God is greater than your fears. God is greater than your fears. And whenever you challenge God, God, I'm challenging, I'm going to obey you. Show up. Watch out. Watch out. And that's my prayer for you this morning. Now, it's not in my notes, but I just, last night, late at night, going over this, I want to share this. I really don't want your money. It's not why we're teaching this. Grace Point will be provided by God, however God wants that to take place, with or without your obedience. That is not my issue here. That's God's issue. What I want for you, I want you to see God work in your life that you have never seen God work before. I want your faith to grow, that it's not a money thing, it's a faith thing. That you actually have a pretty good God, and you have a pretty great God. So the issue is, oh, Pastor just wants our money. It's not my money that I want. It's not even your money. I want more God sightings in your life. Would you join me in prayer? God, whenever we talk about money in Scripture, there's a battle going on inside of hearts in this room or watching online. And it's really not a battle against the pastor. It's not a battle against the church. If we're honest, it's a battle against you, God. And I believe that in this room right now, Satan has some strongholds in the finances of your people. And you want to break through those strongholds. So God, I pray today that you would speak clearly to the hearts that need to hear from you. And that you'll free them from these strongholds, from the enemy. Because the enemy, the last thing he wants in this room, from these people and these families, is for them to see more of you. So God, give victory today. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who has conquered the enemy. We say amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6, if you would. Mark chapter 6 in the Gospel, 2 Matthew, Mark. I don't know if I'm the only one in the room, but I like the feeling knowing that there's cash in my wallet. And now that all the girls are out of the house, it's amazing how my cash stays in my wallet. Anybody else like having when you have money on you? You kind of like that feeling, okay? Oh, no, you don't like money? Okay. I like purchasing things. I like buying things, not on credit. But I like actually, oh, I can pay this, and I go buy that. I like that. Anybody else like buying things? Okay. How come more people raise their hand on that one? Okay. And that's normal. That's good. And that's one of the reasons why over 2,000 times in Scripture, God talks about money and stuff. Money and stuff. Because he knows that one of the number one competitors for our hearts is our money and our stuff. That's where the battle is. That's where the battle is. When our girls were small, all small, and we were excited because my brother Bobby and his wife Julie and his two little kids, Garrett and Brookie, they came from California, and we went over to Seattle. It was a beautiful day, and we came back to our house, and then that later evening, all the little kids were playing with toys in our front room, you know, kind of bringing all the toys in a basket, and they're playing, and Holly was playing with a toy, and I watched from the other side of the living room. She turned and looked at Gelwit. That's what she called him, Gelwit. And Gelwit picked up a toy that she hadn't really played with in a long time. It was one of those hard plastic toys, and she immediately dropped what she was playing with, walked over, and Garrett turned around with a toy in his hand. This is what my daughter did. She ripped the toy out of his hand and hit him, bam, on top of the head. And she said these two words, "That's mine." Can you believe that sinner lived in my house? And I'm shocked that she got the sin nature from her mother. I can't believe it. We had to have a, no, just kidding. We're all like that, right? We think that's mine. And that mentality goes together, what we talked about last week, the cycle of scarcity, that we don't believe that God supplies, we believe we supply. And it's mine. And so because it's mine, I get to consume it. I get to spend it the way I want to. And then with that mindset, then we lack. We don't have enough. There's more month at the end of the paycheck, and then we're afraid and we panic, and then, well, I still want to go out to eat, or I still want to buy this. We put it on the card and we'll pay it off, you know, next month, and we just live in a constant state of scarcity. I don't have enough, because we have a mindset, well, all that I have, that's mine. It's mine, which is not true, which is absolutely not true. And with that, there's no generosity, and it shows up very infrequently, and there may be a desire that I want to be generous, but you know what? I will be generous when I get more money, and that won't happen. That won't happen. Well, yeah, but I'm just making minimum wage. You know, does God really want my little bit of money? Believe me, God is not upstairs in heaven going, man, we cannot make payroll this month. You know, oh, how are we going to do it, Gabriel? You know, please, you know. No. It's not well, I just make minimum wage, or I'm just an E1. I mean, if I was an E7, E8, now we're talking, I would be more generous. Most likely you won't. Why? Here's the central point today. Generosity starts in the heart, not in the wallet. Generosity starts in the heart, not in the wallet. That's where the issue is. That's where the battle rages. So we see in Mark chapter 6, this is the part of this chapter where the famous miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000. But that's just 5,000 men. Whenever there was a large gathering, there wasn't just men there. There were women, and when there was women, there was children, and it could have been about 12,000 to 15,000, about the size of a March Madness arena. All those people, that's how big it was. So we'll pick up in verse 34, because there's two mentalities going on in this story. Verse 34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. So he began teaching them many things. And by this time, it was late in the day. You think I teach long. It was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. He said this quote, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy, say the word buy, say it again, buy, so they can go buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give. Say the word give. One more time. Jesus turned around. You give them something to eat. They said, well, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are you kidding me? Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Do you realize how much that will cost us? And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. See, Jesus had a different focus than the disciples. The disciples were focusing on send them away. They need to go buy. It's their problem. They need to go buy something. Not us. Go buy. And Jesus' focus was you give. You give something. Yeah, but it's not my problem. I mean, if they would have been more prepared and more organized, they would have brought something. They need to go somewhere and buy. No, Jesus told you, you give. Disciples were focused on the money. Like, seriously, that's a lot of money. That's a half a year's salary. Do you really want us to spend that much money? That makes no sense at all. We don't have enough. And Jesus says, what do you have? What do you have? So the rest of the story goes, as you know, they bring what they had, some fish and some bread, and Jesus did a miracle. And he began to take what was given to him. See, we give, and God, what? Multiplies. And he multiplied, and multiplied, and multiplied. The issue wasn't the people on the hillside. He was talking, he was trying to teach his followers something. You give what you have, and I multiply it. Because I'm God, and you're not. And he multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Everybody, you know, an arena full of people, everybody had plenty to eat, and guess what was left over? And it's not a random number. There were 12 basketfuls left over, and how many disciples were there? 12. It was for them. It was for them. You see, they were thinking through a lens of scarcity. We don't have enough. There's too many. We don't have enough. It makes no sense math-wise. It makes no sense that we spend that much money. We don't have enough. And Jesus was looking through the lens of abundance. Is, guys, you have more than enough because you have me. Don't miss that. You have more than enough because you have me. And what you give, I can multiply. I can do that. I can do that. That's the big mindset. And Jesus is really, really talking about their hearts. Is it pointing fingers and this and that? No. Generosity begins in the heart, not in the wallet. And we're concerned about, I don't have enough. And God's saying, well, what do you have? What do you have? In 2 Corinthians, Paul is given an example of the Macedonian believers who gave financially. Now, look at how Paul describes them. He says this, in the midst of a very severe trial, we don't know what it was, but it was severe, their overflowing, say that word, their overflowing joy, we just had a whole book study in Philippians of joy, and their extreme poverty, doesn't matter the circumstance, they still had joy. Their overflowing joy in the midst of extreme poverty, it welled up in, say it. How does this make sense? Because their heart wanted to give. They didn't have, I don't have enough, I can't do it. They had God. And it welled up in rich generosity. So 10 verses later, he's talking to the believers in Corinth. And he's not talking about their time. He's talking about finances. This is what he said. He said, for if the willingness is there, the gift, the financial gift, is acceptable to God according to what one has, not what one does not have. That's the issue is, I just need to wait till I have more. No, what do you have? You give from what you have. And where did you get what you have? From God. And the issue, the real heart of the issue, is right here. This is a heart issue. If the willingness is there, if you're willing to obey, if you're willing to trust God, if you're willing to do what God is asking you to do, doesn't matter what you don't have, what do you have? And disciple of Jesus, if you have Jesus, you have more than enough. And you give what you do have and he multiplies it. And then your faith grows and you want to give more and it becomes out of a habit of giving to a lifestyle of generosity and it's now, look what we get to give. We may not be able to make the van payment, but what we get to give to God, that's God's problem. You know, that's God's problem over here, but we're going to give because the heart is willing. Generosity starts here, folks. It doesn't start in a wallet. Are you willing to give what you have back to God? Recently, I heard of a story of a single mom named Kelly. She had two little kids, and she had not slept in a bed in 4 years. She had a bed, but she let her kids sleep in the bed. She slept on the couch. And someone in their church, a couple in their church, heard about her story, and they didn't have a mindset of, well, you know what she needs to do, she needs to do this so she can go by. They didn't have that. They said, what do we have? What do we have that God has given us? And they looked around and said, you know what? We have a queen bed that's brand new, hardly even been used in our guest room, and no one hardly comes. So he backed his truck up to his house, and they unloaded their queen bed into the back of the truck, and they didn't stop there because you have a heart of abundance and heart of generosity. They said, what else do we have? And they put their living room or the dining room table in the truck with four chairs. Surprised her, went to her apartment, unloaded it all. She was overwhelmed. And that night, for the first time, that little family got to eat at a table together. And Kelly slept in a bed for the first time in 4 years because someone had a heart of generosity, starting with, well, what do we have? It's all God's. Later that night, Kelly called back and wanted to thank them again. And she, on the phone, she was like, I can't believe you guys blessed me. And then in the conversation, she said this, I'm looking forward to the day that I am in a position financially to bless others like you blessed me. And you know what the response was? Oh, Kelly, today's your day. We all have something from God. Ask God, what do I have? How can I be a blessing? And this single mom with two little kids looked around after she got off the phone and she said, wait a second, I have a rocker that I don't rock my babies anymore. They're too big. I have an apartment neighbor down the hall here who's pregnant for the first time. And the next morning, she picked the rocker up, walked down the hallway, and gave it away with a heart of, I may not have much, but what do I have? It's come from God. That's a heart of abundance. That's a heart of generosity. That's a willingness to view God. You are the one that supplies me. So what do I have? I'm going to worship you with that. I'm going to worship you So every time God supplies, whether it's scheduled paycheck, whether it's a surprise in the mail, whether it's an inheritance, whether, oh, Uncle Sam wants to give some of my money back to me, actually came from God, okay, that I get to bless God first. I put God first with a willing heart, go, I get to worship you more today. Thank you, God, for what I do have. I worship my God. You say, but I'm just a teenager. I mean, I only babysit maybe once a month if I'm lucky. Then what do you have from God? Start giving back, putting God first. But what, I'll do it when I get older. No, start now. Parents, I'm going to talk about next week how we started teaching our kids young, because it's a habit, but we want it at their heart. And now they're at their age of doing it on their own with joy. But wait, my salary, wait till it's bigger. No. What do you have now? Honor God now. Obey God now. Generosity begins in the heart. And in that story, God took what they had. They gave what they had, and he multiplied. The multiplying is God's part. Our heart is willingness to give what we have. I am so glad that God does not operate as God, as a God of scarcity. All right, you don't deserve salvation. Here's a little bit. You don't really deserve grace, ever. Here's a little bit of grace. All right, I've already forgiven you. How many times now? You're doing the same thing over and over. No, I'm done. You've met my quota of forgiveness. Aren't you glad we don't have a God that, we have a God of generosity. We have a God of abundance that God says, I'm gonna save you abundantly. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan wants to rip you off and steal your joy and steal things out of your life, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly because I'm an abundant kind of God. I'm gonna save you abundantly. I'm gonna forgive you abundantly. I'm gonna give you grace abundantly. I'm gonna give you mercy abundantly. You don't deserve any of it but I'm a God of abundance. I'm a God of generosity. Aren't you glad we have a God? Can we cheer for God? Yes, God, thank you. Woo! And part of the reason why it's all through Scripture, God goes, I want you to model what I do. I want you to model what I do. I'm going to forgive others because I forgive. I want you to forgive others because I forgave you. I want you to serve, but my model was Jesus who came to be a servant. And when it comes to finances, I gave you it. And I'm an abundant, gracious, generous God. Now I want you to model that. I'm going to go back to Malachi from last week. It says, bring the whole tithe. Yeah, but God, I can only comfortably give 1%. It's not what God asked for. The whole tithe. Into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Challenges us to challenge him. Says, as we said last week, he could have said, says the Lord. That's it. But he adds this word, say it. He could have left it out all through the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. He says, in this part and other places, I'm going to tell you, I'm the Lord Almighty. I'm the Lord Almighty. And the Hebrew means I'm the Lord of hosts. That's one of his descriptions. I'm like the commander in chief of the heavenly armies. I have every weapon, every resource at my disposal, just my spoken word, and it goes out, and you have all that you will need because I'm not just the Lord. I'm not just ruler and sovereign owner. I am the Lord Almighty, the host, the Lord of hosts, the commander in chief of all resources. Now, I'm going to challenge you to challenge me because you may have a little Lord, but I'm the Lord Almighty. And when you do, he says, and you will see, you will experience that if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now that phrase is interesting. Very rare in the Bible, only a few times, the floodgates of heaven. And it goes back to the flood, the real flood that actually happened. And why do I believe it happened? Well, I wasn't there, you weren't there. Why do I believe the flood happened the way the Bible says? Because Jesus believed it. I figure if anybody can rise from the dead, I will go with whatever he says. And at the flood, God said he unleashed, the fountains of the deep, And he opened the floodgates of heaven, poured down rain. Rain in the Bible is a sign of blessing. We don't always believe that in the Northwest. But in Scripture, it's blessing. God goes, I'm not just going to sprinkle. I want to open the floodgates of heaven. And the flood saturated every area of this earth. And God says, I have the ability to saturate every area of your life because I'm the Lord Almighty. Challenge me. Test me. I'm the Lord Almighty. He says, the floodgates of heaven, where God resides. That's where the source is, where God resides. Heaven, our eternal destination as believers in Jesus, where we'll have unending joy, and every provision that we will ever experience in heaven is abundantly beyond our imagination. That's the source from the Lord Almighty. He didn't say the floodgates of Wall Street, the floodgates of your 401k, the floodgates of the lottery, the floodgates of Bank of America, Kitsap Bank, or wherever you bank, or wherever you are employed, from the source of heaven. Test me. Test me in this. So, is God Almighty or not? And those of you in this room who have a pattern of worship of giving tithes and offerings, tithes is the basic, offerings is above and beyond. You know that God is indeed Almighty. And there are times when it's hard to give, when you give by faith and you watch God work. So if you haven't taken the tithe challenge, it's not a Barry challenge. It's not a Grace Point challenge. It's a God challenge. What do you have? It came from God. Okay, God, I'm going to give first. Put you first. Generosity doesn't matter what's in my wallet. It's really, do I have a willingness in my heart to give first by faith? I had an email this a couple days ago that I'm going to share next week of someone. This was my experience last time we did this. And I read with such joy because of what God did to increase their faith and how it's pouring into the lives of their kids. I'll share that next week. But I remember when we did this a couple years ago, a couple that were very involved and very much serving everywhere, sometimes too much in our church, came to me with such joy that tears started flowing. We were down by the nursery, and they came up and said, Pastor, we got to share with what God's done. We started tithing back there. We never tithe. I didn't know that. I was actually kind of shocked, and they said, we never did. We couldn't afford it. But ever since, by faith, we did. And they started telling, look what God did here. Look at God here. Look what God did, how God's blessed our marriage. Look how God has blessed our kids. And they said, and with tears coming down, they said, and for years, it was impossible for us to ever own a house. And we were like, okay, we got to rent forever. And last week, we just got approved for our very first house. And that was totally a God thing. Because back here, they took God's challenge. And they went from a little God who they worshiped and served to the Lord Almighty. Lord Almighty. We're going to close like we did last week with our offering. Again, tithes is start, and offerings are above and beyond tithing. If you ever done an offering, oh, it's fun. It is awesome. But while we take your offering, you have a chance to fill out a tithe challenge. If you haven't did it, put it in the plates coming by and watch God work. But while we do that, we're going to sing a song about how great God is. God's a pretty great God. If he can spin the stars and the universe in place, he can handle your finances. He can. He can handle your future. And we're going to worship not just with words of how great thou art. I pray that you will live out those words that, you know what? He is great. He is the Lord Almighty. So let's pray. God, as we prepare to give back to you in worship, you are worthy. You're worthy of our worship, of song, of hands in the air. You're worthy of our tithes and offerings back to you out of obedience, out of a willingness of our heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of your people to do what you want them to do. Not under any compulsion or any perceived guilt trip from up here. I'm just the messenger. My biggest prayer, God, is that you would show yourself mighty to those who have a little God. That as they trust in you, they would see what amazing God and how great you really are. Change hearts, change lives as a result of obedience. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who conquered Satan, who defeated him at the resurrection. We pray in his name, with his power, we say, amen, amen, yes, amen. Let's stand.